It's time once again for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. We learn a little bit about some of the ongoing projects and also how you can get involved as a volunteer, helping change the lives of blind and partially sighted people in your area and even across the country as well. Today I'm joined once again by Costa Asprew, who's in our London studios.
Hi Alan, a pleasure to be here again.
Okay, so we are going to hear from a campaigner a little bit later, but I know you want to start with a bit of an update for us.
That's right, and we want to create a society where being blind or partially sighted is not a barrier to living life to the full. And we believe that everyone can play a part, from speaking up where there's inequality, linking up with family and friends to take action in your local area, to keeping up to date on campaign issues. And getting from A to B can throw up all sorts of challenges when you're blind or partially sighted. Listeners may have had difficulties accessing public transport or travelling more generally. Many people face obstacles navigating public spaces, and shared space schemes can be particularly problematic, where removal of curbs, tactile pavement markings and pedestrian-controlled crossings leave pedestrians, cyclists and vehicles sharing the same space. And we know from our Connect community that a recurring problem with getting out and about is street obstacles such as A-boards, street furniture and bins. We campaign on all these issues, and our volunteer campaign coordinators are critical to the success of local campaigns. This month, I spoke to Linda Wilson, a volunteer campaign coordinator who lives in a small town in Cumbria and is blind herself. Linda told me how she got involved in campaigning with RNIB.
I think that there hadn't been a volunteer campaign coordinator in Cumbria for quite a few years. I was contacted and all the details were sent to me. I became really interested and decided, yes, that's something for me.
Last year, Linda was involved in a large campaign on the streets of Carlisle. She told me more about it and the group she helped bring together.
This time last year, we held a blindfold walk in Carlisle. And when I say we, I mean myself as the RNIB, the Guide Dogs Association, the Carlisle Society for the Blind, and the Cumbria County Council Rovi for Carlisle. So we held this blindfold walk, and the people taking part included county council officers and elected members, as well as city council elected members. Here in Cumbria, we do have a two-tier authority system, and so we do have to work with both the county council and the district councils. So following the blindfold walk last year, we decided that we wanted to try and promote a street charter to get that adopted by the county council or the city council. I chair that committee, and it comprises of all the people I've just spoken about, and other people who have come on board have been the police, the Carlisle City Council officer who is responsible for taxi licensing, and also the City Council access officer.
It sounded like a very comprehensive project, and Linda told me how the work has come on so far.
We are now in the position where the council officers and elected members are producing their draft street charter for us as RNIB, Guide Dogs and the local society. We will look at that and decide, have they got the wording right? Is that what we really want them to do? Do we want them to do a bit more than that? And then we have a follow-up meeting to discuss that draft charter at the end of October. A charter is really important so that blind and partially sighted people within that Carlisle area can feel empowered to report issues, knowing that the charter is in place and that the council must abide by it.
A street charter makes clear the commitments made by a local council to put a clear highway policy, and that includes pavements, at the heart of their local decision making. Linda told me how important this is for blind and partially sighted people.
It is extremely important, and the way that it affects the lives of blind and partially sighted people is that it gives people the confidence to actually go into town, spend their money. They know that it's going to be a safe environment and they can enjoy all the facilities that everybody else can.
It's fantastic news that the charter will help lots of people feel safer on the streets and enjoy getting out and about. And Linda's going to keep us updated on how things progress. She has also been involved in planning for a future council project as well, which she told me more about.
Some months ago, the Cumbria County Council was awarded a grant from the National Productivity Investment Fund, and this grant was to develop a new crossing on the entrance into Whitehaven, which is my closest larger town. It's an extremely busy area and there is going to be much more development within that same area. So they did realise that the new pedestrian crossings to control the traffic and to make it safer for pedestrians was vital. I went to the very first consultation meeting, which was just at the concept stage. So I was given details of everything that was planned, which was a really, really good idea. I was in favour of the concept just to make it safe for everybody. And I followed that up with a written response to them outlining that the pedestrian crossings themselves must be totally accessible. So in that case, the tactile paving needed to stretch right across the pavement so the actual crossing was easy to find. There would be the drop curb, and then the control itself needed to be audible bleeps and with the rotating cones. And that way that control would be accessible to everybody, blind, deaf and everybody else. One of the ideas at that concept stage was to have shared surfaces. So in other words, there would be no pavements for people to walk along. And in my first response, I expressed my disappointment, explaining how difficult that would be, not just for blind and partially sighted, but for people in wheelchairs, families with buggies and perhaps children running along what should be a pavement. And then just about 6 weeks ago, I attended the next consultation, which was the actual design consultation. And I was absolutely delighted to find out that they have taken on board absolutely everything that I had recommended. They have scrapped the shared surface, which is brilliant, and the crossings themselves are going to be completely accessible to everybody.
It's great that Linda's ideas have been listened to, and we hope that all local councils across the country listen to blind and partially sighted people in their areas. Now, a different topic that we've spoken about for a few years has been accessible NHS information. We know that Linda has campaigned on the NHS England Accessible Information Standard. She explained what the information standard is and the problems that she's found.
This is a mandatory standard from the NHS to allow those who need it to have their written communications and information from an NHS authority in a format that they can read, in inverted commas. So that may be via email, in large print, audio, braille. The process itself for the NHS, I don't believe, was thought out in great detail. They introduced the mandatory standard 2 years ago, and here in Cumbria, and I believe throughout the country, this accessible information standard isn't widely available. And so I have to work with the two trusts within Cumbria. That's the Cumbria Partnership Trust and also the North Cumbria University Hospital Trust to work on their computer systems and to try and stress how important it is that this standard is implemented so that blind and partially sighted or those with hearing difficulties or perhaps with learning difficulties can get their information and it is confidential to that person. I myself have had to have people read me my NHS information to me. I don't want anybody else to know my medical history. I don't want them to have to read my letters and information about a procedure I'm going to be attending the hospital for. I want to be able to listen to that on my computer, so it should come via email.
Linda's really made a huge difference to the lives of blind and partially sighted people in the Carlisle area and beyond, and I asked her what she's personally gained from being a campaigner for RNIB.
I would really encourage people to get involved with RNIB campaigns. Since I began doing this more than 3 years ago, I feel empowered to actually challenge organisations that I would never have done before. It gives me a great sense of achievement if I can do this on behalf of other blind and partially sighted people who perhaps don't have the confidence, but my confidence has just risen tremendously since I started to do this, and I feel much, much better about myself. I'm so confident doing this work.
And we're really grateful to Linda for speaking to us about all her efforts.
And amazing efforts they are as well, Costa. We're talking about shared space there, and she obviously managed to have a shared space project stopped before it even got off the ground. And as a guide dog owner myself, you know, I know how difficult it is to try and navigate some of these areas with no kerbs, no proper crossings, and you're on that same level as cars as well. And it's not a nice place to be.
That's right, and it's just great that the council actually listened to the reasons why it's not a great place to be and actually changed their plans accordingly.
So it really shows as well, doesn't it, how volunteer campaigners can get together with RNIB and make a huge difference, because you know, this was something which was happening in Linda's area, and she took action, got people together and did something about it, and that's what the whole thing is, isn't it? You're trying to encourage more people to do just that.
That's right. And as always, if you'd like to get involved with campaigning to make your local area more accessible, we have some great resources to help you, and we can put you in touch with your regional campaigns officer. Just visit rnib.org.uk/campaigns, call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123, or email campaigns@rnib.org.uk.
And of course, getting involved does make a difference, as Linda is the proof. Costa, thanks very much for joining us. We'll catch up with you again next month here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.